ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, I don't know, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Miss the first hour, a little bit of everything, a little vodka talk there. That was kind of, sorry, that was a little bit forced, but it was last minute.
Yeah.
But this is a big party for us, and it's great to have those guys involved. Ryan asked, does Mike Mularkey have a shot at winning Coach of the Year if the Titans win the division? I think he has a shot. I still think Jack Del Rio is probably your guy. I mean, the Raiders would have to crumble. I'll tell you what, if Dolphins somehow sneak into the playoffs, I think Adam Gase is in that conversation, especially after their start.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think if you're 8-8 and win the division, you're not going to be Coach of the Year. And I also think there is that stigma that the AFC South sucks, because it kind of does. That though, it would be hard for me right now if I had a vote, Jack Del Rio by a bunch.
I'm with you on that.
It's just that team has been so much better this year, and I think he deserves a lot of the credit for that. Hey, did you see this this Denzel Washington rant against fake news reporters?
I did not.
John, can we? Are we set up to do that, or is your computer still goofing? Okay, yeah, he's going to get it for us here. I'd be curious to get your thought on this, because we had quite the lengthy Twitter conversation about it today between myself and Jong and about 12 other people, as it turned out.
There's been a lot of buzz about this fake news. You were the subject of a fake news story.
Oh, yeah, what'd they say? I was running for president. No, no, I voted. No, what'd they say?
You switched your support.
I switched, yeah.
What do you make of all of fake news? Did it affect you?
If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read it, you're misinformed.
So what do you do?
That's a great question. What is the long-term effect of too much information? One of the effects is the need to be first, not even to be true anymore. So what a responsibility you all have to tell the truth, not just to be first, but to tell the truth. We live in a society now where it's just first. Who cares? Get it out there. We don't care who it hurts. We don't care who we destroy. We don't care if it's true. Just say it. Sell it. Anything you practice, you'll get good at, including BS.
I'm just curious what you think about that.
I don't even really know what he's talking about. What's he so upset about?
Basically, the whole news cycle that we have now. And I go back to his first comment there. If you don't,
but you agree with him, right?
Yeah, I do. I agree with him completely. And I think it's not just about people wanting to be first. I mean, that's part of it. I think part of it is we've blurred the lines between what's supposed to be responsible journalism and what isn't. That I've talked about before. I blame myself and everybody in sports for that, because we would do stuff like have beat reporters write columns. Well, now you started blurring the lines, because okay, they're supposed to be covering this, and then they're supposed to be commenting on it,
right?
And that has branched out into everything, and you can't cover politics and in important things the same way you cover sports, which is what we've done. It's what Fox News is. It's basically first take for politics.
Yeah.
And the problem is nobody wants to do their own homework. Just the average person wants it quick, because they don't have time. They have time when they're in their cars to listen to us, and they want to be entertained. They don't want us to sit here and just spout out the news. That's why our show's popular. And then you start getting your news, though, from Fox News and Bill Maher and people like that. Well, that's not really accurate either. But to his point, I think the problem is, and this is the thing that everybody gets a source and runs with something. And the one question that people need to ask, and there's a couple people on Twitter, it's like, oh, just get rid of anonymous sources. Well, you can't do that either, because some great journalism comes from anonymous sources. But you have to be responsible with them. What's the motivation? If Lane Kiffin's agent calls me and tells me Lane Kiffin is taking the UH job, that he's been offered that job, my first question's got to be, what's the motivation there? You know, my second thing is to call somebody at UH and confirm that. And if I can do that, boom, I have a story.
Yeah.
And it's important to have those sources, but you have to ask that question first, man. Like, why are you telling me this? Why do we want to get this out right now? And yeah, but for people who think anonymous sources aren't important, one of the biggest stories I ever wrote, I was covering horse racing at the time, is when they had that big scandal in the Breeders' Cup where the guys were basically had found a way to cheat the computer to make a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
And made millions. Well, I had it before anybody else that the FBI was investigating. And because at the time it just looked like a fluke that they hit the pick six times. And one of the guys I knew very well, I was trying to confirm that the FBI was involved. And I called him, and his wife answered the phone and said, he can't talk to you. The FBI told him not to. So basically, I can't say who he is, but I've confirmed that the FBI is investigating.
Right.
And then I just called an FBI office, and they basically said they wouldn't comment on any ongoing investigation. Well, guess what? That tells us the FBI is investigating this, and there's a potential crime. Without that, you couldn't have that story. You couldn't tell people that, hey, there's possible corruption going on here. In our day, we always had a second one. You always called to confirm. You always called to get somebody else's opinion. The fake news to me is a totally different thing. I don't know how people fall for that. I see that stuff on Facebook all the time. Tom Brady's career to end or something like that. And I just laugh at them. I don't even look at them because they're silly. But people look at that and think of it as news. And I blame the people as much for that as anybody.
What people?
Us.
The people?
Yeah, because we don't want to think for ourselves. We don't really have time. People work their butts off. They got families. They got everything else. You want to get your news as quickly as possible. And that's why this whole conversation we were having on Twitter was kind of silly to me. We're talking about an in-depth subject in 120 characters. It's impossible.
Well,
but that's how we get our news now. We don't get it from... Yeah, we don't get it from newspapers, and we're not going to. People don't have time for that.
To your point of the need for, you know, private sources and you know, being able to keep your sources to yourself. When I was able to, I tweeted out before Tom Herman got hired, and actually before Charlie Strong got fired, that somebody in Austin had told me that it would take, and this was before the TCU game, his words were, it will take a miracle for Charlie Strong to keep his job, and I don't know if beating TCU is a miracle. And he said Tom Herman is their number one priority. Didn't say that it was a lock that they would hire him, but did say he was their number one priority that they were going to go after. And I tweeted that out, and people got me, who's telling you that? Which the whole point is, if I throw out who said it, then next time something happens, no one's going to tell me.
Right. Exactly. And
I'm not even a journalist. Imagine these guys that are like, this is their job.
Well, and that's the thing. You can't. You need those people. And in some cases, you have whistleblowers who are telling important stories, and important stories are being broken because, hey, they don't want to get fired or arrested for coming out and saying something, and that's important to have. But it's more important and let's be honest, we're talking about sports. We can throw stuff like that out there all the time, and it doesn't matter. It's a game. It's entertainment. This isn't, but this isn't something important. Who Denzel Washington votes for president, which is what the fake news story was, that he voted for Trump, and that's what kind of started this. I mean, to him, that's very important because there are people who look up to him and will do that based on vote based on what he does. So it's a matter of, I think there's a responsibility on all ends. There's a responsibility. Journalism's never going to be what it was, and I get that. Newspapers are never going to be relevant again, no matter how hard they try. And they try to compete with TMZ now, which, you know, TMZ has become fairly responsible journalism comparatively. And that's the problem. But that's the world we live in. That's what it is. But I think it's incumbent on people to be more responsible. And guys like Adam Schefter, who I have a lot of respect for, have done some things that
I, like the Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah. I'm just like, what the hell are you doing, man? But that's, it's about clickbait. It's about, you know, ad revenue because you're getting more hits. And, you know, it's one thing, I hope to God we don't do one. You know, it's one thing I've tried to make sure I don't do on the website. It's just put clickbait up. And try not to, you know, no slideshows and garbage like that. Doesn't mean that's responsible journalism. I'm still being a smartass, but you try to do that. And Aaron's Fetus asks, in your opinion, social media and the way news is covered affected journalism as a major in college. When you go to college now, you're not thinking I'm going to work for a newspaper, nor should you be, because you're not going to have a job in 20 years. You're thinking about going to work at Fox News or ESPN or working for a website. Those are the things that you're taking that for. And even Jong sounded like an old man on Twitter today, I have to admit. As you were talking about, what, Spotlight?
Yeah, that was, what, 2001?
Yeah.
And that was probably the last, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, that's probably the biggest scandal that's been broken in this century.
And Lamont says, fake news is not just parody and fake sites, but legit media members like Brian Williams who lie. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because guys like that who lie give you an excuse to say, oh, all the media is wrong. And that's not true either. There are people out there actually doing good work and doing fair and balanced work and using anonymous sources correctly. But you know what? We don't hear about them. You know why? Because they're doing a good job.
Yep.
And there's nothing to whine about when people are doing a good job. All right. You know what else there's nothing to whine about? Getting your car payment reduced, which is what they can do for you at slashmypayments.com. How'd you like to save $100 a month? What if you could defer your first payment for 60 days? That's 2 months without a car payment. You think you're going to save some money with that?
I would like that.
Yeah, I would love that. And the reason you could do that is car dealers make most of their profit off your loan. They mark up your rate. That's why they tell you, oh, we're going to give you a great deal. Well, they're getting it back by marking your loan up rate up. That's money that should be in your pocket. $2,000 to $3,000 in interest a lot of times. You're paying on your loan that's pure dealer profit. And guess what? SlashMyPayments.com and the great team over at Ignition Financial can fix that for you. Put more money in your pocket, money that you deserve, that your credit has earned you, and it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, and why should those guys get the money that your credit history earned? Why should anybody be reaping that benefit other than you? They're not making their payments on time every month. It's you are. It's your credit history. It's your money. Get it back. Refinance your current auto loan at slashmypayments.com. It's simple and easy, and it's free to you. Just take a couple minutes to apply. Slashmypayments.com. Enter our code BLITZ at the top of the application, and you're on your way. With approved credit, other exclusions and or restrictions may apply. That's slashmypayments.com.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, 713-780. ESPN's your number. And just one last thought on this. The other problem that I think is out there is Adam Schefter is popular, right? Why is he popular? Because he's ESPN's insider.
Yeah.
So he makes news. And in one instance, he became the news. You think about how many people have said off-the-wall stuff. And we've been doing this in sports for years, but now it's trickled into real life. And that's the issue. But when Jaworski came out and said that Colin Kaepernick had a chance to be the greatest quarterback ever, we talked about that for 2 days. That, oh, Jaworski, you're an idiot, or Jaworski, you're a genius. And that's, you've got so many people who aren't, who people think of, because their personalities, they think of them as journalists. They're not. They're people who are out there trying to create news, and they make themselves a news. And when that happens, and there's a lot of people doing that at MSNBC and Fox News and everywhere else. Hell, our show exploded when we pepper sprayed our producer. Now, we weren't intending to go out and make news. It just happened. But
sometimes that happens.
There are people out there intending to do it. And I just think that's the world we live in. That's what Skip Bayless does. That's how he's making $5 million a year or whatever the hell he's making. And good for him. But I don't think I could ever do that. Yeah, let's get Lamont on real quick, and then we'll wrap the we'll put a bow on this thing. What's up, Lamont?
Hey man, how's it going?
It's going sports.
My point was it was not only Brian Williams that makes me question everything, but I watched this election for the last year. Incredible outlet got a lot of stuff wrong, man, for the last 15, 16 months. And then I think what really took me over the edge to see how in cahoots the major media outlets were in the tank when WikiLeaks exposed all of that stuff with the DNC. A lot of stuff was not clean. And I'm not talking about only the people who opened everything. I'm talking about legit journalists, the people that's supposed to be journalists, that's supposed to be fact-based driven. And Fred, you just hit on it. This is going to be one of my points. I think
yep, we lost you there, man.
And I'm strictly talking about news, news and politics. To read.
All right, we got
to your phone's awful, man. Sorry, I kept cutting out. We couldn't figure out what you were trying to say. Yeah, I'm not dismissing the fact that people are out there getting stuff wrong and ignoring stories and making bad decisions. And I think in some way with all this technology, it's made it harder for us to actually do our own research. And it shouldn't be that way. It really shouldn't. Anyway, we'll move on, but I found that interesting. And I appreciate Denzel for saying that. Joshua had asked, do you think Purdue could get to a bowl game in the next 2 years with Jeff Brohm? I love Jeff Brohm. That was my favorite coaching hire.
That might be a bit of a rush.
I think three is possible.
I like that hire too. I do think it's an uphill battle though.
It is, and it's a tough situation. But of all the young up and coming coaches that were hired, that is the one that I love the trajectory of. And he's he was there with Petrino. He's learned from him. He's got that great downfield passing attack. He did a great job at Western Kentucky. I'd like to have seen him do it for one more year just to be safe, just like I would have liked to have seen Tom Herman do it for one more year at Houston. But I like this guy. I think it's going to be a really good hire. I will be surprised if he does not do well. Of all the hires that were made of guys jumping up to bigger schools from smaller schools, that was my favorite one so far. And, yes, I think he'll do in recruiting Big Ten-level talent. He's got a lot of ties to that area. That's one reason why I wanted Houston to interview him, but he doesn't really have any Texas ties. But I think he'll do fine. He'll be able to get quarterbacks. His guys are going to want to play for him. And get a quarterback, you can put up some numbers. You can. It won't take long to beat the Northwesterns and teams like that. Now competing with the Michigans and Ohio States and Penn State and Michigan State, Wisconsin, year in and year out. I think that's a little far-fetched, but that doesn't mean you can't get bowl eligible and be better than those other teams and every now and then make a run at them.
Yep.
Especially if Jim Harbaugh decides to go coach the Rams. That's another crazy one that's out there. Ed, it's funny because all these coaching searches, you hear this stuff, but what's the motivation for stuff like that being leaked? Well, a lot of times agents just want better contracts for their guys.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Robert asking, are we going to go over who we think will win the bowl games? Yes, we'll do that either tomorrow or Thursday. It just depends. I've got a few more bowl games to get through. And I admit I'm spending way too much time going through studying every single bowl game and coaching changes and matchups and things like that. We mentioned this a little bit at the top because we were talking about the Patriots. Tom Brady has two interceptions this year.
Yeah.
He doubled his total last night with that pick in the end zone.
Well, so did Russell Wilson. They both doubled their totals.
Yeah, Russell went from 5 to 10. But the guy's 39 years old, AJ, and he still looks really good. And
amazing.
We've seen it with so many guys. We saw it with Peyton. It was obvious that Peyton wasn't the same player at the end. And here he is at 39. He's still throwing the ball exactly where he wants it to go. He's still got zip on his passes. He doesn't look like he's lost a damn thing. And I hate to say it, I think as much as I don't want to like Tom Brady. I don't want to like the Patriots. I don't like anything Boston. I don't like the Celtics. I don't like the Red Sox. I don't like the Bruins. But, man, when you ask me, so I guess the guy was talking about Cam Newton being his favorite player. I'm trying to think who my favorite player is in the NFL to watch. Pretty short list. He's got to be on my list. It's just amazing to watch, especially at 39 years old. I got Big Ben up there too. I've always loved watching Big Ben play, but it's, you know,
I like Gronk when he's on, when he's healthy.
Yeah,
I think he's a special player. I loved watching Calvin Johnson. I love Julio Jones, AJ Green.
Yeah, I like big receivers,
big explosive receivers. That's what I'm into.
Calvin Johnson at his best was as good as I've ever seen for about a year and a half, 2 year stretch.
I might even go longer than that.
He was good for a long time, but there was that stretch where he was just unbelievable.
I loved watching Randy Moss too.
Yeah.
He was great. I'll tell you who's climbing that list more and more. And I know it's not, well, one, Odell Beckham, who had another freak play on Monday night. But another guy that's climbing that list for me is Marcus Peters and Eric Berry, both those guys, and really maybe the combo of those guys.
Eric Berry, especially considering what he's overcome, is just
he's
been a great player coming out of college. He was a great player.
Everyone knew he was going to be great, but I mean, he's just
really. I look at those Steelers, all three of them: Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and just. That combination of those three, I just love watching
it's
those guys
It's hard to get
play.
Me excited about running backs anymore, I think. I don't know why. Maybe it's just not Bell, the game has just changed.
I think it has. But Bell's one guy. He's just so different. And he can catch the ball. And when he's at his best.
I loved watching Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
I love watching Adrian Peterson when he's healthy. But, I mean, running back to me is not, it's not what it used to be. I don't have the same oohs and ahs about running backs that I once did.
Yeah. I'll say Bell, and I've enjoyed watching Zeke Elliott this year.
Yeah.
All right.
And J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt, I mean, when he's healthy. Guy.
And Aaron Donald, you know.
Patrick Peterson, when he's healthy, I love watching. That's a game changer. Todd asked, do you think it's okay for a journalist to run a story if it could hurt or hinder an investigation? I think it depends on the context. And if
I think that a journalist, it's his job to do the journalism.
It is.
It's the police or whoever the investigator's job are to do investigation.
And sometimes you're going to be at odds, but I think it just depends on the situation. If someone's life is in danger because you're going to write something that, frankly, doesn't need to be written, then I think that conversation has to be had. But, you know, it's most of the time reporters aren't getting something before police anyway. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Jerome Solomon scheduled to join us next. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King of Kings. Your knees, dog.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
Stay sportsy. And we're back on The Blitz. What that music means. Maybe his voice will be better this week since he apparently burned it out doing TV. Too important for us. Jerome Solomon, Chronicle columnist, TV guy, podcast guy, all around media superstar. What's up, Jerome?
Now my voice is coming back around, but yeah, no, it's you dealt with it because you had two kids. You know, they sneeze for a day, I'm sick for a week and a half.
Ugh.
It's ridiculous. Charm carrying monsters.
Yeah, and when you're doing TV and stuff, you kind of need your voice.
Yeah, indeed. I wasn't even able to do the TV show last week. So, yeah, and I struggled through a podcast because I really wanted to sit down with Kenny Houston and Elvin Bethea and talk some old school football, but it lasted about 15 minutes before I was about to conk out. So, you know, but I'm alive. It could be worse. You know?
Well, it's good to have you back and alive. Alive is good. That's a positive. So, tell us a little bit. Well, a couple things. First off, haven't had a chance to talk to you in a while. I wanted to get your thoughts on Major Applewhite going to UH, getting the job there. What are your thoughts on him and just UH in general now with Applewhite?
As I've told a couple people, and you know, I stand tall and proud of my unbiased nature and how I reach conclusions and opinions and stand strong with what I think and feel. This one is difficult to be unbiased about because I've known Major since he was a, you know, 18, 19-year-old kid. known him a long time. I respect him highly. And I think he's a darn good football mind. How that translates into being a head coach, we'll find out. So I like the hire because I love Major Applewhite. You know what I mean? So it's hard for me to even step away from that. If I were doing the hiring, I would have decided between Major and Les Miles. And Les Miles would have had to hire the offensive coordinator that I wanted to hire. And if he didn't agree to that, then I'd have no use for him. Lane Kiffin wouldn't even talk to him. He wouldn't have been on my list.
Yeah, that one was they dodged a bullet with that guy. It's amazing. But as far as Les is concerned, though, he never would hire an offensive. He would keep his hands in the offense at LSU the whole time. I don't know why he would come here and not do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he would want to, but that would be the condition in my situation. If you want this job, these are the three people we will hire as an offensive coordinator, and you'll let them run your offense because we've seen what you do. If you don't like that working conditions, then go somewhere else. You know, I mean, it would be that simple. But I think he would have been great for the program and far less likely to be looking for the next stop along the way. And, you know, he might settle in and turn it into something really good and interesting and fun for a good while. And certainly it would be entertaining. And the guy can coach. You know, I mean, I know that for sure. Known him a long time, too. But I don't trust his offensive instinct whatsoever. In fact, not only would we have to hire an offensive coordinator, we would have to hire a clock manager. And he would be listed on the coaching staff, clock manager. anybody is qualified for this job except for Les Miles, apparently.
Jerome Solomon is our guest. Let's switch it to the Texans. Big win on Sunday, which, I don't know how much of it was them getting it done or the Colts giving it away, but your thoughts on that win and what do you see happening here? Because basically it's all in front of them now. If they beat the Jaguars and the Titans lose to the Chiefs, they just need one win and they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's been all in front of them for a while now. And that's the division they're in. They're the ones that blew three games in a row and backed up toward the crowd that wasn't moving and going anywhere hardly. I mean, it's just pretty much the way it is. They're you know, the you know, fastest turtle in a slow race here to the division crown, which is fine. I will say I have, and this could sound like a joke, but I really have changed my tune on Brock Osweiler. I mean, I know he's not nearly as bad as he's played because I don't care. Follow me on this, though. You have to be really horrible to be incapable of a 300-yard game, right? So he's capable of a 300-yard game. He might as well just continue to suck for the rest of the regular season and save his one 300-yard game for the playoffs. He's certainly not capable of two of them, I'm sure. But everybody that plays quarterback in the NFL can have a good day. This guy, is he that bad? Like, really?
Yeah.
Can he not have a good day even? Just one day. You know, it's ridiculous.
How much of it, though, is the play calling? Because, honestly, I think a lot of I blame everybody in this, but you run the ball, and then throw on third down, or you're throwing to double-covered receivers because you've only got two in the route. It just seems like the play designs and the play calling in general, are not giving anybody a chance to be successful except the running backs when they can run the ball.
Oh, no question. Yeah, I don't know if it's the chicken or the dead chicken or the spoiled egg or rotten egg, because they've given up on Brock Osweiler making things happen. I mean, they start off the season with him in empty backfield and in the shotgun on every snap, and they realize, well, that's just not going to work. And the receivers, I said it before the season, too inexperienced, and they thought they'd be able to get away with it, and now these guys are injured and, even worse, lost another one today, obviously, who wasn't even providing much. So I think they've decided, hey, forget this. We know what it will take to win. I'll give Bill O'Brien some credit in that. He got him into this situation, but it might be foolish to try to open it up too much. But it does look, it's so predictable that, I mean, you would think every now and then they'll flip it around and turn it into something, but you can get away with it in this division, and that's the thing. O'Brien tried to chastise us yesterday, claiming, oh, y'all try to dog our division. You want to write up? Well, your division is bad. Don't try to twist it into something better than that. But you're better than everybody else, and if that's what it takes to win, that's what you do. I know this. It's bad football. It's not entertaining. You guys are just talking about players you want to watch play. The Texans don't have one on offense.
No.
They don't have one on defense, really. I love Whitney Merciless. Clowney can make plays here and there, but you don't go out of your way to watch those guys, unlike any of those 15 or whatever players you listed. Without, and they've been this way for a while, but without J.J. Watt, this team is almost unwatchable. It's the most boring football. It's the worst 3.5 hours of our week every week, basically, right?
Well, and just contrasting it with watching that game last night with the Patriots, and the Ravens didn't play well, and they still look better than any Texans game pretty much we've seen this year.
Yeah, it's a shame, and the other teams aren't helping out. I mean, they play Jacksonville, and Bortles makes it look even worse. They play Indianapolis, and Andrew Luck looks like the bad Andrew Luck, and he does that occasionally, but my goodness, can we get some entertainment? Hey, Derek Carr didn't play. He's had all these great games, play the Texans. It's like everybody is playing down to the Texans' boredom level, and it's wearing me out. I'm sure the fans are – They got to be in the same boat. I'm forced to watch this, so I'm not leaving it all.
And I think we've talked about this a lot. They're a hard team to watch and get excited for, because you can't see an end game being much more than one and done in the playoffs. And even if they got lucky and won one, that'd be it. That's the absolute ceiling, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. That's what makes the NFL really good and interesting and fun. Yeah, I don't think there's a chance they beat anybody in the playoffs. However, they get to the last week of the season and Roethlisberger hurts his knee and has to come here to play. They got a shot, you know. Denver is bad enough on offense on occasion that, you know, you only have to make a couple plays. They got a shot. Osweiler will have started 16 games and not thrown for more than 200 yards in like 10 of them. Eventually, you know, he and DeAndre Hopkins will be on the right page, and Hopkins will have 3 touchdowns in a game. Maybe that'll be in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, anything can happen. It won't, but it can. And as fans, I mean, that's all they have to hope for, right? So, and I don't care what happens when an NFL team wins a playoff game and gets to that next week of the season, there will be excitement. There, even though, you know, there'll be 10-point dogs going on the road wherever they end up going that next week, there will be excitement in the city, right?
Keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive, indeed.
And then there'll be a moral victory Monday after that.
Now, of course, I would not put him past them to lose to Jacksonville this week.
Well,
I really would not. I'm serious.
I mentioned that yesterday, and people started texting, like, you're insane. There's no way they could lose to Jacksonville. Have you watched these guys?
Okay.
They're very capable of losing to Jacksonville.
Yeah, but Jacksonville, if you've watched them too,
I have.
It will take a real, real effort to lose to that team.
Oh, you don't.
And look how they gave a lot of that effort in Jacksonville last time.
They did.
Or a better way of putting it, maybe, AJ, is it's more likely they'll lose to Jacksonville than they'll blow them out by 30.
I'll give you that for sure.
44.
Yeah. The Texans aren't going to blow anybody out. I don't think they're capable of blowing anybody out.
And that, and when you play every game like that, you're one Brock Osweiler pick six from turning it around.
Yeah, if, they don't have a double digit ball, win yet.
If he threw a better ball, you know, he would have had two or three picked off by Indianapolis. He misthrew them so badly that the defenders couldn't pick them off. It was so he really, he is such a pedestrian quarterback right now that if he does try to make some plays and gets a little excited, things can turn pretty quickly. And I won't be surprised if they mess around and lose this week. I really wouldn't. But Bill O'Brien seems to keep his team on a fairly even keel. He lets them know where they stand. They tend to step up kind of when they need to, and the division is right there for them to take it. So I do think they'll lose one of these two games, though, Cincinnati or Jacksonville. Because there's no way I'm going to predict that they'll win four in a row. That's ridiculous.
I said this, and I'm wondering if you feel the same way. I think that the Texans may have the worst quarterback situation in the NFL as far as they've got a guy that they're locked into. They seemingly don't have a young option that they're grooming to be a long-term answer, and they don't have a high draft pick. Can you think of anyone who's in a worse situation?
Man, you sure make that sound bad.
I mean, the one, like the closest thing to it is, I mean, the Jets are pretty bad, but the Jets are going to have a top five pick.
Yeah, they will. I hadn't thought of it, but yeah, you're probably right. Considering their draft pick is going to be what, 20 is what you get,
right?
Or 21 when you make the playoffs at least, you know. So that, you know, that. And they wouldn't draft the guy high anyway.
No, and listen, not that there's a bunch of great options.
Locked into this guy, it wouldn't matter, you know. So, yeah, they're pretty much stuck. This might be the worst situation you can be in, quarterback wise, and it's going to be there. I would love to be a fly on the wall for those conversations that Bob McNair will have with Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien after this season, because it literally. Every nickel that Brock Osweiler is making is coming directly out of Bob McNair's pocket. Because
I think he's doing fine.
Because that money is supposed to be going to his kids' inheritance, and he's giving it to Brock Osweiler for nothing, because you could have pocketed that money and still be 7-6 with anybody quarterback. Heck, you might even be, but somebody was joking with me on Twitter that he could be 7-6 with Case Keenum. No, it might be 8-5 as bad as he is, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Tell Jeff Fisher that while he's on the unemployment line. But
But look at the Rams. The Rams aren't nearly as good as the Texans. What is their record? Aren't they?
Yeah, they've got four wins. I'm not going to go with you. I'm not going to say that they're not as good as the Texans defensively. They're pretty damn good. They're just in a tougher division, and they got a horrible coach.
They're the same. They're the same thing, basically. I mean, they're a good defensive team with a nice running back, no outside weapons, and a mess at quarterback.
And a bad coaching staff. I think the Texans have a much better coaching staff, and I don't think there's any question that. Granted, you know, what's the name has had some good times as defensive coordinator, but Romeo Crennel, if Bill O'Brien had not hired Romeo Crennel, his job would be on the line right now. Crennel has saved him. He came in here to be the offensive guru, to be this intelligent guy, bring the Patriots-like system where they can adjust and be a 21st century offense, and his offense has not been good pretty much at all since he's been here, but Romeo Crennel and that defense has saved him. And he's definitely saving them this year, because if the defense, we can dog them forever they want, but if the defense played much worse, this team would be 5-8, you know, easily. So,
all right, that's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Jerome, appreciate the time, my friend, and glad you're feeling better. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys, have a good one.
All right, got to tell you about this great, great deal, and a lot of people have asked me about it, and they've all told me the same thing once they got it. It's like, my goodness, what a great deal. If you're looking for the perfect gift for someone who has it all, running out of time, you know, we're only 2 weeks away here. If you're looking for the perfect gift, let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99 you can get my family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com. Enter my code FRED in the search bar. You're going to get 77% off. So enter FRED in the search bar, 77% off. Here's everything that you're going to get just for the Blitzers. This is less than $50, $49.99. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, a 12-ounce package of all-beef meatballs, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus you'll get four additional kielbasa sausages for free just because they want to throw that in there and give you even more. Just go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code FRED in the search bar, add the family gift pack to your cart, and get a 77% savings. This is a fantastic deal, and it's really easy. You just go online, and they're going to have it sent right to your door. It's a gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
Tiny Wade in my cubicle, where I wrote this, what I'm saying. In my cubicle, where I hide out from my boss. In my cubicle, where I get lost in my thoughts.
In my cubicle, I draws up a master plan with diabolic genius, not unlike the son of Sam. I plans hard, not telling a soul. Been planning this here since the days of old. I gets cold when I'm in that frame of mind. Fabulous existence, the world is all mine. I'm frightened by the creature inside. It's alive, taking control of my thoughts like a hive. Sociopath.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we're back, finally. Come celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. It's happening Tuesday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities, all-you-can-eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com for a limited time only. You can get $75 off, so get your tickets early. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the big Texas party. Hustle Town with Craig Shelton and Angelo Lawford and Jermaine Every will be tonight at 7 p.m. And so we're having a little computer problems in there, are we?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of gathered that. All right, let's do our Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, just for you, AJ.
All right.
We have another UFO sighting. A huge UFO spotted on the surface of the moon during a live stream from a U.S. observatory sparks claims of alien life. Apparently, a dark object has sparked a flurry of theories after being seen last week during a live stream video from an observatory in the U.S. Scott C. Waring posted on UFOSightingsDaily.com that the UFO, quote, makes quite the impression. It's not a man-made object because there are not solar panel wings. There are no antennas on it for transmitting. Also, the surface is not completely round, but it has a rough edge to it. It looks like a biomechanically grown UFO. This from UFOSightingsDaily.com. Okay, I'm seeing the picture of it. You know what it looks like? A freaking bug flew in front of the camera. It looks like a black dot. It does not look anything like, and I'm not trained on UFOs like UFOSightingsDaily.com is.
Yeah.
And obviously, I did not go to school for UFOs.
If there's UFOSightingsDaily.com, they got to make up some stuff.
Right.
I mean, they got to make some stuff.
Yeah, you
got
to have something every day, right? But it does not look like a biomechanically grown UFO. It looks like a dot. So.
Well, listen, you got to fill content. When your website's
it looks like a
UFO
fish. You know, it looks like a fish. So if alien life is a fish, there you go.
Yeah.
That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
It sounds like you guys are assuming they're going to make the playoffs. If the Texans are assuming that, then the Titans will win the division. We're not assuming anything. All I told you was how easy their path is. We also said they could lose to the Jaguars if you were paying attention. So, regardless, you know what? You know what'll make you feel better? Just go
booze.
Pop open a bottle of Whitmire's.
Damn right.
And guess what? You should make your plans now because Thursdays and Fridays from 3 until 9, and Saturdays from noon until 6, you can go to their new craft cocktail bar and lounge at Whitmire's and enjoy all the great products they have there, including a lot of stuff that you can't get in the stores. And even better, you want to take a bottle home with you? You can do that. And they've got so much to choose from. You've heard me talk about all their great products, the peach whiskey, the Texas whiskey, you know, the single barrel, the Space City vodka. They've got the Sassafras gin. They've got just so many great, great products that you can try there. And if you haven't done a tour yet, those are on Saturdays. Those are great because you get to try all of them there too. And you get to see how they do it. You get to meet the people out there who are fantastic. And if you want to have a private event, can you think of a better place than a distillery? Like, if you're going to have a bachelor party, hell, my next wedding is going to be at the distillery. You can do all kinds of cool things there. Birthday party. Give them a call. Set it up. Their private events are fantastic. And we'll let you know when they're out doing tastings so you can go try all their wonderful products. Just visit Whitmires.com for info on the distillery tours as well as the accommodations for private events. And you can go by and visit them, 16711 Hollister. Make sure you do that when they're open. Or at Whitmires.com. That's Whitmires.com. Absolutely Houston's first distillery, Houston's best distillery. That's Whitmires, Whitmires.com. What it is and what
it's worth. ESPN 97.5.